Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us on the radio dial at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, whether you listen to us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. Have a great half hour coming up for you today. We're going to kick things off by speaking to actress as well as a playwright, Arlene Malinowski. She's here to talk to us not only about her journey in the arts, but how she's using the spotlight that's been shined on her to be able to bring attention to issues that matter to her. I think this is going to be a great conversation for us to see how we may be able to do the same thing. In a similar vein, at 15 minutes past the hour, we're going to be speaking with author Frank Romano. He's the author of the book Love and Terror in the Middle East. This is a great read. I actually finished it up over the weekend, but I think what I will remember the most about it is that no matter where we are in the world, some of the things that Frank was able to see that we all can deal with. One is, of course, love and appreciation for ourselves and others, and also about the crippling power of hate and how people around the world, no matter what their culture or what their upbringing is, but that's something that they all have to come to grips with. So, again, two great guests are going to be joining us today. Again, Arlene Malinowski, as well as author Frank Romano. As they're bringing in Arlene, I want to talk a little bit about this issue of Conversations Magazine that came out last week. The theme for this issue is living your passion, and it's one thing you'll see with our guests really all this week. We've been trying to talk about for the entire month of February. A lot of people think of this month just because of Valentine's Day. But what we try to do is really look at different individuals who are living passionate lives. They're passionate about their careers, passionate about things they're doing to help other people. And that's what we're able to do right now, is to kind of bring attention to those type of individuals. I think one of the great things about also about this issue is that it also allows you to see how we're able to make a difference ourselves. A lot of times we wonder, how are we able to do it? In this issue of Conversations Magazine, we're able to showcase that, to let you know exactly how you're able to live your own passion and to let that shine. There are some individuals, I think, who have, that you'll see in this issue especially, who have gone through different challenges, whether it has to do with abuse or neglect or if there are things of that nature. You'll see how they've been able to rise above it. And also come out the other side looking better and also feeling better about themselves. And that's one of the great things about this issue. Again, living your passion. On the cover, you'll see Elaine Williams. Just an amazing story herself, which you'll be able to read in the issue of the magazine. Now, for those who are not a subscriber to the magazine in print, you can read the entire issue by going to our website at www.conversationsmag.com. That's www.conversationsmag.com. Conversationsmag.com, you'll be able to go there and be able to read the issue online. They're still trying to bring in Arlene here. It doesn't seem like she's with us for this first part of our program. What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation about the new issue of the magazine, the February-March issue. And then, of course, as I said, we have Frank Morano coming up as well. You're listening to Conversations Live here on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Character building counts. Have you weaved a character building message such as goodness, honesty, leadership, empathy, or responsibility into your book of any genre? Most likely you have. Character Building Counts Book Awards can help you market your book through our unique book award program. We honor children's, young adult, fiction, and nonfiction books, from romance and paranormal to business and memoir, that deliver a character building message. Get the attention and acclaim your work deserves by winning radio time, seals for your book cover, press releases, web presence, and more. Character building counts at CBC Awards. Sign up now at www.cbcawards.com. CBC, where character building counts.
We're back here with Conversations Live 92.3 FM and online through blogtalkradio.com. Keep in mind, at 15 minutes past the hour, we have Frank Romano will be joining us live to talk about his brand new book, Love and Terror in the Middle East. Again, a fascinating read. This is the second edition of the book. Looking forward to talking with Frank not only about the writing of the book, but the lessons that he hopes all of us are able to learn from the experiences he had and that so many others have had as well. I was talking to you before the commercial break there about the new issue of Conversations magazine, and it's one that deals with passion, a great deal about passion. Living your passion is actually the theme. And I was thinking actually during the musical break there that one of the big issues that we address in this magazine is the issue of fear. We talk about it a lot with our guests, and I've been asking that question a lot more recently about fear, and it came to me because of a question that I heard some 2 months ago: what would you do if you were not afraid? And I think it's a great question for all of us to ask ourselves. If fear was not in the equation, what would we be able to accomplish in our lives? And that's what I think all of us have to kind of ask ourselves when we're looking at our journey and looking at where we are in life. What would we do if fear was not something that stood in our way? We're going to be actually talking about this very topic with our next guest, Frank Romano. I think fear is something that he addresses in the book. Hate is another thing that he addresses quite a bit in the book, and it's really a fascinating read. What I hope you all take away from this upcoming conversation is that all of us not only have a story that needs to be told, but we have an ability to shine a spotlight on issues that matter, not only to ourselves, but to others as well. We'll be right back with our conversation with Frank Romano. Make sure you stay with us.
GEICO has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, GEICO could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, GEICO has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call GEICO for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
Frank Romano is the author of the book Love and Terror in the Middle East. It's a fascinating, not only account of his journey, but also his revelations about himself and the world that we live in. Frank is joining us live to talk to us about the inspiration for the book and what he hopes you as readers take away from it. Frank, welcome to Conversations Live.
It's great to be here, Cyrus. Thanks.
Well, thank you for being on with us, and congratulations on the book. I was telling our listeners, actually, in the first part of the show, I actually finished it over the weekend, and one of the things, Frank, that really stood out to me, and I think we'll begin the conversation here, is the balance that you seem to strike between peace with yourself and peace with the world, and how you shared that throughout the book, not only in your own recollections, but also with others as well. When you first started off to write this book, Frank, what was your initial intention, and how did the book develop?
You know, it sort of started as you began to talk about this idea of peace with myself. It started out way about 30 years ago, way back when I was studying in France, and I was going through crisis, and I really was not very peaceful. Sometimes through crisis, a lot of things can be revealed to us, and sometimes we can just keep going down and down. And I was in Paris. I was alone a lot, so I left my job. I left school. I was at the University of Paris, and one thing I thought I might do, and I sort of through a dream or through some type of inspiration, I thought, well, maybe I will travel to the Middle East, get as far as I can, and see if I can't be involved in the interfaith movement I heard about. And so I took off, and I realized, you know, I'll find out through this trip more about myself, and I will find peace. But, you know, I realized that I can't find, and the peace, of course, is peace and overcoming fear, as you talked about a little bit before in your program, Cyrus,
right.
very relevant to everything, that I realized I can't find peace within myself unless I can do what I can to make the world peaceful. And that was my connection. And I got as far as Casablanca there, and in Morocco, and I wanted to learn about Islam before I got to the Middle East. I wanted to do some interfaith work, you know, again, with Muslims, Jews, and Christians in particular. So I walked into a mosque. I picked the wrong mosque. It was an extremist group, which was a Salafist group, and they held me captive, and I had to escape from the mosque and return to Paris. Never did get the Middle East, but that inspiration stayed with me all these years, and then 5 years ago, about 25 years after that happened, I finally got to the Middle East.
Yeah. You know, Frank, I want to ask you about this because faith is such a big part of the book as well. But there was also, and you talk about this really toward the end of the book, and I thought about it in a way I hadn't thought about before, and that was almost as hatred and what we see as hate, you describe it almost as a presence, that it is something that kind of is all-encompassing sometimes with individuals. And, you know, it seems as though that was one of the issues that you not only addressed in the book, but seemed to try to better understand. Was that also part of this, to see how you know, your subtitle of the book is, of course, Love and Terror in the Middle East. But hatred is such a big part of, especially when people think about the Middle East. Was hatred one of those things you were also trying to better understand and appreciate?
Absolutely. I mean, I felt inside through my own, I realized through my own ignorance about certain things that I feared certain things through my ignorance, and fear engendered a certain amount of hatred for things I didn't understand, despising something that could creep into my life and disturb me when I was in a comfort zone. And I realized in proportion to the hatred I had was directly proportional to my misunderstanding of what was going on around me. And so when I started to understand what was going on during this trip, some 5 years ago, I finally did get to the Middle East, and here, instead of going through North Africa, I took a plane from Paris to Israel and the West Bank, and I realized a lot of the strong emotions I had for things, for people, you know, for strong emotions with respect to people's culture, whether I despised someone for what they thought or what they believed in, was simply I didn't understand what they believed in, and I realized that's one of the core for the conflict in the Middle East, of a lack of understanding for each other. How can you have compassion if you don't understand each other? And I think that was to overcome fear and hate. It's one of the things I try to do, Cyrus, is I try to reprogram, try to facilitate meetings, get people together, understand each other, and then move forward from there.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, and you just brought up the point that I was really thinking, too, that so much of it is because of fear. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding of who a person is and what they represent. And also, I think, too, what I saw, there was this one incident in the book, for those who haven't read it, there's this one great instance where you have about 100 individuals, and you get them all to focus on something great, something of love, a loved one, a time in their lives, and thinking about being able to spread that. I think that is so great for all of us to think about a moment where we have what we consider to be pure joy, and to be able to try to live in that moment. Do you think that that's part of the process of better understanding, not only individuals of various faiths, but also of just even ourselves, taking that moment and just to enjoy the present?
I mean, I totally grow from that moment. And what's helped me, Cyrus, is and helped me, you know, reach out to others, is to realize that sometime in my life, it was sort of doing meditation, I focused on a very strong love feeling I had for someone, a member of my family, or someone I didn't even know, but I shared strong emotions for, and I realized, but you know this emotion, what this love thing is it really just an exclusive thing? If we can somehow, without ignoring the exclusive beauty that one might have a one-to-one relationship with somebody or with a group of people, if we can somehow lasso, if I can use that word, lasso that love, or somehow understand that love, and then extend it out as a universal love, and sort of in compliance a lot with the text of the Old, the New Testament, and the Quran, not as a naive, unrealistic type of a thing, but a realistic way of having feeling for people, remembering, you know, in that strong emotion and extending it, because I think love is a universal thing. It's not exclusive. There is exclusive beauty in it, but that's just the beginning, not an end.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, I think, too, we cannot have this conversation. I want to say, for those that are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Frank Romano, who's the author of the book Love and Terror in the Middle East, a fascinating account not only of his own journey, of so many different areas, Frank. I think it's a journey, I believe, of faith, a journey of understanding, a journey of love, a journey of also enjoying the moment, I think, too, is one of those things, too. There is, of course, the issue of faith that comes up in the book, throughout the book, and I believe and I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. We sometimes try to hoard God for ourselves instead of realizing what he is and what he represents and understanding that he really is there for all of us. Talk to us about that appreciation, especially because there was at one point in the book that you talk about where there were some places they did not want you to go because, in fact, one of the officers, I think, told you, you're not Muslim, you can't go in. And you had this back and forth with a couple of them saying,
yeah,
you know, that you're a believer. Talk to us about that and how the perception of God is sometimes not in alignment with the realism that is God.
Yeah, Cyrus, it's also the same. It's the same notion that the perception of ourselves and our calling is not sometimes as unilateral, as exclusive as we might think. Now, that's very vague, and let me be more precise.
Yeah.
When I was planning on going into Palestine, because we had these huge interfaith groups in the Galilee where Jews, Muslims, and Christians showed up, and that was the whole idea, facilitating dialogue, because a lot of times the conflict is caused by the lack of dialogue. But then I realized the Palestinians couldn't get through the walls and the checkpoints, and so someone had to go to them. And I had this vision that was clear to me, and it's about being true to you and your vision, which is so important. So many people are around, and they're in good faith a lot of times, trying to give us pointers on what we should and shouldn't do. But I knew in my heart of hearts, if I went into Palestine and shared with these people that couldn't get with us, that couldn't be with us, about this very important interfaith stuff we were doing, that I was living through faith. I wasn't going to let the fear get to me, because people were warning me, you're going to go into Palestine, you're American, you don't have authorization, they're going to take you hostage. What about all those terrorists that come from there that blow themselves up? You're going right into the jaws of the beast here. And
right.
What I learned, Cyrus, is to be true to myself, focus on the faith that I have. And sometimes doing that, sometimes you have to strike out on your own sometimes, and no one, when I got to Jerusalem after that incredible event, I realized I'm on my own now. No one could tell me how to get into the West Bank, because no one had even thought of doing that. It's first, for one thing, illegal for Jews to go in there, Israeli Jews, and most internationals wouldn't even think of going into the West Bank because of all the news that they've been focused, that we've been filtered with, that's been negative news. And I think, but I've met Palestinians. I met them, and they told me it was unstable, it wasn't dangerous. Come and see for yourself. I trusted what they had to tell me and my own faith, that this needs to be done. We need to go over there, and we need to build a bridge between, you know, the Israelis and the Palestinians. Otherwise, we're going to stay apart. And the thing that can give rise, again, to our own misunderstanding, which is engendered by fear and ignorance, is the fact we don't have contact with each other. And not just email, direct contact. And so my faith got me through, and I felt that it was a great challenge to get through. I had to figure out how to get there first, and that was no small feat. And but you know, Cyrus, I still have those challenges today. You see, I'm still planning on going back into the. I go back about every 3 or 4 months into Israel and the West Bank, and in about a month I'll be back. And there are many groups now that want to work with me for peace and freedom in Israel and the West Bank. But anytime you're dealing with people, you're dealing with a certain amount of influence. A lot of it's good, but some of it's also political and agendas, and you have to kind of filter through that to find out, well, what in this complies with my vision, and have the faith that you're going to follow through with that vision, and you're not going to be influenced, especially by, you know, sometimes there's evil out, too many agendas out there. Politicians are still lining, not all of them, but a lot of them are interested in mainly lining their pockets and not really helping people, and you've got to somehow just go for it. And what helps you do that? And you're absolutely right. It's the faith. It's the faith and that feeling of love that you have inside, that's just burning inside, that you feel that it's a universal thing, you want to share it, but not in a naive way. But sometimes you got to take chances to live your vision, And sometimes you just have to listen to that inner voice. You have to listen to God. And there it is, a personal thing. But it's not just to exclusively protect you in some kind of a artificial comfort zone. It's to branch out and reach out to others. And only, I think, in that way can we make it a better world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You talk about in the book it being a big world, but knowing that we all have the power of one. And that's what you're doing. You're using your power of one, your power of an individual, to be able to do what you can to bring about the change and to bring about the peace and the unity that we say we want, but that we don't always see the steps being taken to get. Again, I'm speaking to Frank Romano, the author of the book, Love and Terror in the Middle East, a fascinating read, not only of faith, but also a journey into many of the issues that are not only hot-button issues today, but an area of the world that is seen as a hot-button issue as well. Frank, if you had to choose what your principal objective would be for readers today that are taking in the second edition of the book, what would you hope they would take away from it?
I think this book, Love and Terror in the Middle East, and as well as my first book, Storm Over Morocco, which talks exclusively about the trip I took that I described earlier, and I got as far as Casablanca and got mixed up with an extremist group and had to escape. It's the same moral, I think, of both stories that I'm trying to share with people, and that is, you know, I don't have a monopoly on the conscious embodiment of supreme love or the supreme consciousness or God. I encourage people to go ahead and you know, share with people and read, but then listen to your own self and do it your way. Find your path, because everyone has their path, and it converges sometimes with others. But right now, I'm trying to converge my path with others to enhance freedom and peace in the Middle East, and I'm finding issues there, and I'm finally deciding that, you know, I have this vision that's still clear. I'm going to still follow it, even if I find myself sometimes alone, because I know I'm going to find people to share it with, but I'm not going to reach out necessarily and follow others when I feel my vision is clear. So everyone has got their vision, and I encourage people to do it their way. Many people could find out what I learned without even going to the Middle East. You do it your way. There are many things we can do here in our own country to organize, to reach out, to make it a better world, and it all blossoms out, or it all ripples out like the ripples of a lake. And again, that's what I really encourage people to do it your way. Listen to your heart, listen to God, and then go ahead and do it, and don't worry about taking some chances. We got to take some chances to make it a better world, to make our better selves first, but first work on ourselves, and then we can branch out and make it a better world, but not to be afraid to do things differently according to our own vision.
Yeah,
that's kind of a long-winded moral, but you know, I guess the in a couple of words, it's like, hey, you know, it's great to be inspired by others, but do it your way. I encourage you to do it your way. Find out what your way is. Take the time,
right.
and you can find out. You can find it, and I encourage everyone to get together. I'll be in the States, for instance, in May, May 12th at the Barnes & Noble, actually in Santa Rosa, California. I'll be in New York City, actually, in March for a couple TV interviews. I don't have anything scheduled for author events yet, but if people want to look on my website, that's www.frankromano-lt.com, and I'll keep people abreast upon where I'm going to be, and I encourage people to send me emails, and that's frankfro, F-R-A-N-K-F-R-O, at AOL.com anytime about what they think. And I love to get feedback from people, and I encourage people to, you know, to go ahead and follow your path and find your happiness, but find your passion and be true to it, and don't let other people persuade you otherwise. Follow your path.
Exactly. Very well said, Frank. Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
For coming on today, for sharing with us about the book again, Love and Terror in the Middle East. And Frank, we look forward to staying in contact with you.
You bet, Cyrus. Thank you. It's been my great pleasure, and let's stay in touch.
Hey, we'll definitely do it. We'll definitely do it. And if you missed any part of my conversation with Frank, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 10 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. You can also go to the blogtalkradio.com site at blogtalkradio.com. facebook.com/conversationswithmusic. Now, if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's actually already on both of those pages. So just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/CAWEBB4, or you can go to Twitter at twitter.com/CyrusWeb, CYRUSWEBB, and you'll find it there. Download it completely for free from those links. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be back with more conversations. Make sure you stay tuned.